Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the DFO Rundown Podcast with Frank Saravalli and Jason Greger on dailyfaceoff.com. Delivered by DoorDash.
Welcome to episode 104 of the DFO Rundown. I'm Jason Greger alongside Frank Saravalli. The Super Bowl is over and man, I'm feeling it today. Too much food. The NHL, we got 5 weeks now from the NHL trade deadline, Frank. So there's lots to discuss. Let's quickly, what'd you think of the Super Bowl? More importantly, the halftime show. Did you watch it?
I thought it was the best halftime show ever. Finally, I don't know. I felt like an act was tailored to my generation. Maybe that just means I'm getting old. It was great. I just thought it was really well done, you know, start to finish. It moved. It had a lot of different people and the songs that they picked were awesome. I would say the game itself was the worst of the playoff games this season.
Well, there wasn't much offense. It was a defensive battle in the second half. No question. Like since he came out guns ablazing, 75-yard play in their first play, 75-yard touchdown. And then they only had 75 yards the rest of the second half. So
Tyler and I were texting the whole second half because I still don't know. We both had, I had the Bengals over 28 and Tyler had the over, he was riding the over all day. And I was like, what is going on here? Why are they like, how on that last drive you clip off two, it seems like first downs are close to it on the second one. Second down, he throws the ball away and blows the game.
Wow.
How do you not get, like the way that drive started off, how do you not get 3 points to send it to overtime?
Surprise. Well, Ty and I were talking before the show about the Joe Mixon when they were on third and fourth and short, and he's not even on the field. You're like, dude, you got a Pro Bowl running back. Sometimes don't overthink it. Just get the first down and move on. But, tough for Cincinnati fans. Man, they've yet to win a championship. Obviously, they were very close. Maybe they'll get back. They got some skilled guys, no question. But Matt Stafford came through when he needed to most. And, you know, L.A. will party and should be a lot of fun in that town here the next few days. But I'll just say this, man, the halftime show, the thing, like, Snoop Dogg is one of the greatest characters. Like, he's just.
Did you see the gif of him lighting up before the show?
No, I didn't, but I'm not surprised. But
yeah,
just like he's, you know, the ensemble that he's wearing, you know, he's got his little shimmy shake dance moves. Like, he's just a funny dude.
Him at NHL All-Star in 2017 or 18, whatever that was unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. When he was doing the play-by-play, the color comic.
No, they had like a private concert at that weekend, a private show. And it was like Snoop and Blink-182. And I forget who else was there. And it was unbelievable, like a really small venue right near Staples Center, crypto.com arena, whatever the hell it's called now. And it was unreal. It was like Snoop Dogg for an hour, just playing all the hits.
Oh man, he's
so Dr. sick.
Dre and Eminem. Like, hey, how good is Dr. Dre's 56? He's turning 57, man. That guy looks like a champ.
Yeah.
And Snoop's 50. You know what? He's definitely working out because there's no extra LBs on the old Snoop Dogg. So good for him.
Can't say the same for me. By the way, happy Valentine's Day. So nice to kick off my Valentine's Day with you. What did you get your wife?
Thanks for the bouquet you sent me, Frank. That was a little odd, but I appreciate it. So it's nice. It's you know what? I left my, because of course it's early in in the morning here in Edmonton. So I made sure that my Valentine's gift for my wife. Now, the great part is my wife's not like, we've never been big Valentine's Day. I think it's kind of a joke. I buy my wife flowers randomly during the year. So we don't really go crazy on Valentine's Day, just a few little small things. But she has a real sweet tooth, but she's cut off sugar for 2 months. So it was a real challenge to find something that she could eat that was kind of sweet. So that was my challenge. But I found some, they're like smart sweets or whatever. So they don't have any sugar in it. And they're like, I read all the ingredients. So there's a few bags of them in a gift bag when she wakes up.
So my wife knows that food is the way to my heart. So I got my Valentine's Day card today and it said, let's dim some lights. And there was some dim sum on the card and I was laughing. And then it said, P.S. Hope you get me a puppy. I'm like, no chance. She wrote on there, P.S. Hope you get me a puppy. I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah. Well, dude, you know what? I'll tell you right now, that's a battle that you're losing. You can fight it off. Eventually, your kids and your wife will overpower you.
I don't know. I'm 9 years in, man. I'm not relenting.
It's happening. Oh, you say that now until your daughter's a little older. Oh, trust me. She'll bring
it. Dude, I am afraid to say this publicly because I don't, the reaction to it, I'm just not a dog guy. And people are like, oh, if you don't like dogs, what does that say about you? Just like, I never really had good experiences.
What did you, are you scared of dogs? Like, did you?
Yes. Yes. Oh,
well, but see, that's why if you get a puppy and you see the puppy's never going to bite you. It's your own dog. Then you'll love it.
No, my parents got a puppy and that thing bites my finger like it's a sausage every time.
Yeah. It's, wow. Probably just playing with you.
I don't know. Like, that's a hard no for me. Hard no.
What about a cat?
Cats make me barf.
Okay. I was just checking because.
Yeah. You know. I don't even understand people that are cat people. I just can't even get
cat, cat people are a bit different. Nothing wrong with different. They're just a bit.
I just can't get there. I can't do it.
Yeah. No, I think my son keeps asking for a dog and he was scared of dogs because he had one jump on him. Didn't hurt him when he was little. So he's slowly getting around, but now he wants a dog and my wife loves dogs. So I know it's coming. I don't mind dogs. I just told her, I said, hey, I'll do the early morning walks. I have no problem because I'm up early, but I don't want it sleeping in our bed. That's the only rule.
There's no discipline in this house. So there's no chance that could happen.
I won't give in. That won't happen. So
maybe I could use a dog. Like, are you kidding me? Some walks. Like I could use to be taken on a walk. Seriously. Like this is like, you mentioned off the top Super Bowl, too much food. Like, yeah, it hasn't just been a one day adventure for me, bud.
Yeah, no, I was eating really clean all year, and then poof, yesterday just nachos and Twizzlers and
Twizzlers, huh? You're a licorice guy.
I like Twizzlers because you know what I like Twizzlers? They taste great and they're not messy. Like you can never make it messy.
Are you a pull and peel guy or like the regular Twizzler?
Just a big bag, yeah, not a pull and peel. No, just a big bag of Twizzlers. Way you go, rip open the bag and then go to town.
So, now here's one odd thing that I figured out the hard way and I never would have even thought to look. Twizzlers contain wheat. I have a gluten allergy.
Yeah, I knew.
Who would have thought that Twizzlers contain wheat?
Yeah.
What?
I can eat anything pretty much except onions. They gross me out. So
okay.
That's about it.
You learned something new.
Yeah. Hey, let's get to the National Hockey League and one of the teams, here we are, we're 5 weeks from the trade deadline, Frank, and there's two teams we're going to focus on today. Well, we'll focus on a lot of topics, but two teams specific when it comes to acquisitions. Currently, the Colorado Avalanche have the most points. They got the best points percentage. They got the best record in the National Hockey League. They're really good. They've won 34 of 46 games. They've only lost 8 in regulation. I still think when I look at their team, they need to add some size on the back end. What do you think they're looking for?
I think they're honestly, and I say this without any, I'm not trying to play coy at all. I'm not sure that they know what they're looking for yet. Okay. Like Joe Sakic said that at his press conference last week, he wants to give it until closer to March 21st to really hone in on what may or may not present itself. And it's amazing when you look at the Avalanche and the run that they've been on. 36 of the last, they've gotten 36 of the last 38 points on the table. Like, think about that. That is incredible. But the funny thing is, when you talk to the Avs and you talk to people in their front office, and Joe Sakic hinted at this the other day, they still think that there's holes in their game. They think they've won a lot of games that they probably shouldn't have, which is probably the mark of a good team. When you don't have your best, that you still find a way to win, whether it's coming back in games. They've had a bunch of comeback games. Joe Sakic said there were other nights where they didn't have their game and their goaltending bailed them out, which is another huge plus. So he's been really impressed with the compete from his team, that they don't ever give up, which speaks to the chemistry that they have. You mentioned getting bigger on the back end. I wonder in the back of my mind if they need goaltending help just to shore things up. Mike McKenna on the Daily Faceoff show last week, we talked specifically about this, and he said, no, he said, look at their numbers. They're insane. And they are, but that's also clouded a bit by virtue of the streak that they've been on, right? Mm-hmm. 36 of the last 38 points. I think ultimately that they might be willing to tinker with their forwards a bit and go for a scoring winger that really adds some punch to the second or third line. Now, that leaves a lot of room for interpretation in terms of which direction they may go in. I don't know. The hard part for the Avs is tradable pieces. They don't have their first round pick. They traded it for Darcy Kemper in the summer. Joe Sakic is willing to move his 2023 first round pick. But other than that, you're plucking off pieces from their roster. And then you get back to the question mark of, well, are we just messing with a good thing?
See, I look at the Avs, and right now they remind me a lot of the 2020 Tampa Bay Lightning. I remember in 2019, the Lightning just tore through the league. One of the best regular seasons we ever had, and they got swept by Columbus. And the organization that offseason was like, you know what? We have enough skill.
2018-19.
Yeah. And then I always call it the season I ended in 20. And then when they won their first cup, when they made the acquisitions of Coleman and Goudreau. And I know a lot of people, when they acquired Goudreau and gave up a first rounder, because a lot of people didn't watch the San Jose Sharks, they're like, what are they doing? But Barkley Goudreau was exactly the piece they were missing, right? They needed guy, and they had him. He was under contract for not just 1 year, but of course two. We saw what happened. They won two cups with him and Coleman. Then they both left and cashed in free agency. Good for them. I look at Colorado, and the same issue that I still see that I've seen in the previous years that I think they have to learn from, I just don't think their defense. And now Eric Johnson's injury definitely played a part. But when I look at Stanley Cup and conference winning defenses the last few years, size matters, skilled size. And I look at Colorado's defense, I don't think it's big and heavy enough to go all the way deep in the playoffs. So if I'm them, I'm taking a page of Tampa Bay's. I think they have enough offense. Now, if they want to add a guy, great. But I think if it's me and I'm Joe Sakic, my first priority is adding some skilled size and weight to their back end. Because I think when it comes to battles down low right now, they're just not heavy enough. I just don't believe that you can win with Sammy Girard in your top four. I think if he's in your third pair, Frank, it's great. But 19, 20 minutes a night against the top wingers, I just think that you get worn down in the playoffs.
We just got a Size Matters reference on Valentine's Day. That is amazing. I would say I'm in agreement with you. I don't know how much of a priority it is, in the sense that, I agree with your premise. I've read your story when you posted it last season about the significance of size when you sized up Stanley Cup contenders or Stanley Cup winners and the average sizes and all that on their back end. I just think there's a lot of question marks there. Like, Bowen Byram has been out for a long time, right? Like, what does their D look like when he's back in? Like, are you then taking away opportunity from someone like him, who's a game changer? It's hard. The thing I keep coming back to is, even if you want to add size to your back end, what are you trading to get it?
Yeah, that's fair.
So go through their pieces that they could move. It kind of revolves around JT Compher, who has one more year left on his deal at reasonable money, $3.5 million. And those are the type of pieces that you need on your team, as guys that can contribute to your team at a number that you're comfortable with. Maybe JT Compher, with the season he's had, you know, everyone's gotten a bump on this Avs team in terms of points. He's one guy that really hasn't. Like, look at Nick Aubé-Kubel, who comes in from the Flyers. They plucked him off waivers. He's got 7 goals and 7 assists for 14 points in 34 games, already career highs. He's almost caught JT Compher in terms of production, and he's on, you know, a short money deal at just over $1 million. Maybe that makes someone like Compher a little bit expendable. I don't know, but you've got Compher, you've got Jost, you've, you know, the sense is the Avs are not willing to move Alex Newhook, which I understand. Where do you go after that?
What about Justin Barron? Right. First round pick playing, you know, he's just in his first year pro, young defenseman, right shot.
Yeah. There's been some talk about Barron.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, look, when you're in the Stanley Cup window, guys like Justin Barron get moved all the time.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And I, hey, and sometimes those are trades that really work out for the team that's acquiring him. And if you're the Avs and it gets you a Stanley Cup, then it's definitely worth it. So they're a team I'm very curious to see what they do the next few weeks. And Don Waddell, Frank, we had Don on last, and he was very open and honest about, he was kind of annoyed because he had a few deals close and then nothing transpired at the deadline. And Carolina was very good. And you wonder if one deal might have made a difference. And I wonder how much of that is, you know, that Carolina is a good team. Right. But I think it was you talking about, like, they, you know, they're maybe looking at the right side. I sense that with the ownership and the fact they didn't do anything last year, I got to believe that Carolina is doing something. I'm just curious how big of a splash. Are they jumping off the 5-meter springboard? Or are they going deep and going off the high board?
I would think that they're going, like, what's the point of nibbling around the edges? I've never really understood that. And I don't think they do either. They are an interesting team because they're not afraid to move things around. Like, even their off season should tell you everything you need to know about the way that they think and operate. If we didn't stress it enough last year with the conversation with Don Waddell, is that they're willing to make change. Like, the status quo doesn't matter necessarily. Like, you gotta keep questioning. You gotta keep moving forward. 9 new faces out of the 23 players on their roster. Look at the success that they're having.
Yeah.
So maybe it's a lesson to everyone else who is seemingly afraid to make moves and make changes to shake things up that you can.
Well, hey, Rod Brind'Amour, it's clear that it's kind of rare, Frank. It seems like he's almost like the leader of their team. And you just don't see that very often. The players have all bought in. They like it. They respect him. There's a lot of balance up and down that lineup. Like, Dougie Hamilton goes out and they seemingly don't even miss a beat. Now, Tony Angelo has been a great signing, no question about it.
Is that a 1-year engagement, you think?
Yeah. Yeah. You wonder what's going to happen there, because I think they'd love to keep him, but he's put himself in a position to get a significant raise. There's no question about it. But, you know, then they've got some guys like Niederreiter and Trocheck are both UFAs. Do they look and say, hey, we have enough scoring forwards that we'll let one of them walk and give them their money to Tony DeAngelo?
I could see that. I could see that with Niederreiter specifically. I feel like at times he's been a square peg in a round hole there. I mean, he's still on track for almost 30 goals this season.
Yeah.
He's going to be close to that. And Trocheck, I think they respect a lot of the other elements that he brings to his game and his compete. I think that one is a little bit more difficult to move. The name that I mentioned that I did get some pushback on after our deadline war room story was Brady Shea. Brady Shea's name has been out there for a while. The Hurricanes, that's a guy they were trying to move over the last calendar year. He's had a really good season. His cap hit is really reasonable, at 5.25 for the next 2 seasons. So, I think there would be some value there. And I think that's how you approach it. If you're the Canes, is, you know, maybe flip him, get some assets, and then use those assets to then go get what you want if you can't do it directly.
That'd be interesting, man. That'd be a big hole on their left side, because,
They're another team that already doesn't have a first round pick.
Yeah, there's him and Slavin. Man, if you're trading Brady Shea, it can't be before. It's got to be in the summer. It can't be before the trade deadline. I guess I shouldn't say can't. I would be very surprised. He's played a ton of minutes for them, and you know, him and Slavin, you know, Pesci, obviously their big top three, and then D'Angelo. But I really like Carolina's. Like, the thing is, there's not necessarily like one specific piece I think they need. I wonder if they need to add a little bit of the Tampa Bay flair, Frank. Like, you know, Carolina's got, they got a lot of skill, but do they have a Goudreau and a Coleman type of player?
It is amazing how that's become a thing. Like, I know we just touched on it, and I know the importance of it and why, but every single media hit at some point, whether it's talking about it on a pod, radio, whatever conversation, Barkley Goodrow and Blake Coleman come up like six times a week. It's amazing how that's become like a cultural hockey phenomenon. Like, well, they need this guy. I know why it makes sense, and I know why we talk about it, but it's amazing that those two guys in particular have just, they've become a thing.
Well, you look at the element that they brought, and even Patrick Maroon on a much smaller scale, right? You know, Maroon, when he was there, as being a, you know, a fourth line guy, you look at them adding Corey Perry. Now, Corey Perry's different. The guy scored 50 goals once, but he's a perennial, you know, 25 plus goal scorer. And then he goes there with a bunch of skill guys late in his career. And shockingly, he's on pace to score 20 goals again. But he, there's an, I look at today's NHL, Frank, and I talked to a few scouts, and they told me that the reason Goudreau and Coleman stand out so much is because there's just not that many players that are willing and consistently play the game that way. And it adds an element to your team. They're just incredibly hard all the time. They took pride in the defense zone. They took pride in checking. And then, of course, they added timely goals. But it was interesting. These two pro scouts both told me, and one's a Western guy, one's an Eastern-based guy, and they both said there's not many. They just found, they used to find a lot of checkers. It sounded like they're finding harder to find like hard checkers across the league.
It's not hard checkers. It's checkers that can skate.
Yeah,
that's really the problem, physical. Is checkers that have the speed and ability to keep up with today's game.
Yeah.
So let's talk then about who actually could be those candidates.
Yeah.
Like, who are the guys that could be this year's version? I'll give you one whose name has floated out there a little bit, and I've mentioned it, but it's for this exact reason that they don't want to let him go. And it's Brandon Hagel in Chicago.
Yeah.
23 years old, does all that work, has some offensive game and flair. He's going to hit 25 goals, or he's on pace to do it. And he has two more years at $1.5 million. Yeah. Like, that guy has immense value. They were looking for a first round pick plus, plus, plus. First round pick, top prospect plus. That's what the conversation was like. So I'll give you another one that we've also talked about, that people find this wild. They find it absolutely wild that this type of player could bring back that type of return. And it's Arturi Lehkonen.
Yeah, you've been talking about him.
So the list is short. Like, you have to go through each and every roster to find a piece like that, that you could get that type of game out of.
Yeah. Well, I think if he didn't have three or more years, Brandon Tanev would be the ideal player from Seattle, right?
But he's hurt.
I know, but I'm just saying. And he's also got 3 years left at 3.5. So he doesn't come with that kind of low value contract that you expect, right? Coleman and Goudreau, guys, that was the thing. They had two playoffs, basically, is what you got from them, right? They had that year and then the next year before they became UFAs. And yeah, it panned out great for them, but they weren't big tickets, right? Goudreau was 925K. And then you have a guy who plays significant minutes on your penalty kill, hard on 5-on-5 for less than a mil. Like, you're right. Brendan Hagel's value is not just his style of play, Frank. It's also his contract. That's what
100%. There's so few of those guys available. Is there one of the Islanders players that you may be able to pry off?
I looked at the Islanders, man, and you know, like,
obviously they're in trouble.
They'll try to trade Cal Clutterbuck, but he makes 3.5 mil, and he's just not the, you know, maybe he can dial it up for one more playoff run as a third line guy, but he just doesn't. I don't think there's much gas left in that tank. So that's the struggle for the Islanders. You're right. Like they're out of it, right? Like I know they've been waiting on the games in hand. Well, we've seen the games in hand are dwindling, and the gap is not dwindling, unfortunately for them. So, you know, Lou Lamoriello would look and see what he can do. Like, you know, I was looking at teams like the Buffalo Sabres, right? The Detroit Red Wings. And, you know, like Nemestikov is a free agent, but, you know, Detroit's got a ton of veteran defensemen, Frank, Nicoletti, Stahl, DeKeyser. If they want, and teams are looking, and we always know they value defensemen at the deadline. Steve Yzerman, to me, is a guy to watch because Nicoletti, I would think, would have lots of value at the deadline. You know, maybe a Mark Stahl if he wants to go, but Detroit doesn't have that element we talked about up front, but they definitely have the veteran defenseman that a lot of teams like to add on the back end.
Yeah, I don't think Stahl is, I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe he is open to it, but the reason he got the no move in Detroit is really to control that, to be locked in with his family and be able to stay there. Nicoletti, I think, certainly there's a bit of interest in, but think back to Steve Yzerman last year. He had a number of pending UFAs. It was Luke Glendening, Bobby Ryan, Stahl was a UFA again last year. Like they didn't do anything because they didn't feel like the price was being met. They wanted to keep a competitive environment there and said, you know what, these late round picks that we could get, not worth it. So if you're going to try and get one of those guys and you think there's real value, then you actually have to bring something of value. So it's not going to be for late round selections to get these guys is the point. So maybe Pew Suter is like another guy that's in that same sort of wheelhouse in terms of competitiveness and does a lot of the right things. I can't really come up with many other names that are in that world.
Yeah,
exactly. That fit.
Yeah, well, that's exactly what the scout said. There's not a lot of those guys, and that's what makes them so valuable for their role, right? And it's so because you get some, and then they seem to get overpaid a lot because I think there's just not many of them. And then once they're overpaid, well, then their value clearly it's not as high as it was when you get guys, you know, under 2 million and around $1 million.
So, is Nick Paul one of those guys?
Yeah, but Ottawa would be absolutely foolish to trade him, man. I'm a huge fan of Nick Paul. Like when I look at the way that team's going, and the Sens have actually been pretty competitive lately now that they got some goaltending in Matt Murray. But you've got Nick Paul, you've got Brady Tkachuk, who's highly competitive. Like if I'm Ottawa, I'm sticking with it. And what I'm going to do if I'm Ottawa is try to add some veterans in the offseason to help insulate my young players because you cannot win with all young guys in key roles. And they got to improve their defense in the offseason. But I've really liked Ottawa's competitiveness here the last 6 weeks. I think DJ Smith's got that team. Like they battle. They're hard. They're in games. And they've got some skill. They got some young skill. Thomas Chabot's an excellent defenseman, I should say. You know, Drake Batherson's out. He's really skilled. You've got Stutzel, I think, is only going to get better. Norris, Tkachuk. And I like Nick Paul. I think Nick Paul, Frank, they would be foolish to trade him. Foolish.
So they offered Nick Paul 3 years times 2 million and it was pretty easily declined.
Down. Yeah. Yeah. He's going to get more than that, but you know, hey, they're talking. Hey, you're always going to
come. What is he worth?
Now, historically, I try to be rational in it. I think you can get Nick Paul for, you know, if it's two-way street. I think Nick Paul probably believes that he can still develop into a guy to earn a big ticket. So he's probably on a 2 or 3 year deal because he doesn't want to commit long-term to a number that the Sens aren't going to pay him 5 or 6. So he's probably got to commit to
5 or 6. He's never hit double digit goals. Like,
yeah, I know, but I'm just saying, talking to people around the league and seeing his progression on where he's going to go and his value, he'll be there.
He's been in the NHL since 2015, 16.
Yeah. But he's just hitting his prime, Frank. Like there's lots of late developers in the NHL. I think Nick Paul, I think I'm going to say this. I think Nick Paul is going to get between 2.8 and 3.2.
Okay. But what would you give up to get him?
Oh, I'd give up a first rounder in a heartbeat. Easy. Like,
because a first rounder for Nick Paul.
Yeah. You gave up a first rounder for Barkley Goodrow. Like you got to remember, Frank, the first rounder, when you get to like 25 plus, you know, like you can get a good player there, but it's not like you're giving up a top 10 pick, right? The teams that are going to acquire Nick Paul, I'm assuming, are teams that feel they've got a deep Stanley Cup run in them.
Okay, now let me flip the script on you and ask another question. Is Barkley Goodrow overpaid?
What's he making now? Four bills?
He is 3.65 times six.
Yeah, he's probably slightly. Like, he probably is a $3 million player. So I don't think it's a gross overpay, no.
It's 6 years, though.
Yeah, but you... Yeah, and he's...
What was this is the first time he's hit double-digit goals in his career. His previous career high was eight.
Yeah, so think about it. So in his first year of his new deal, he's got a little bit more of an offensive role, but I don't think Barkley Goodrow's complete value to your team is just in offense. Like, the Islander, the Rangers have enough offensive guys. If you're a player, Frank, in the bottom six who can score 10 to 12 goals 5-on-5, like, that's big-time production. Like, I was... Mm-hmm. I crunched all
the numbers. It's not the number, it's the term for me that...
Yeah. Well, okay, but that's not overpaid. That's term, right? Like, his 3.6 cap hit to me isn't that high. It's the term, sure. Like, I've always said, to me, the NHL would be better off if they never gave contracts longer than 5 years after anybody the age of 27. It would be better for everybody in the league. It'll never happen, but it would be better for everybody.
I just think you almost always get yourself into big trouble with long-term deals for players in that third role. Third line role.
Oh, 100%. 100%. Like, you know, I think the orders on Nugent Hopkins at 8 years is a deal that near the end, they're not going to love, but you know, they signed it now, and because their GM doesn't worry about 8 years. I don't think any GM does, right? They worry about three or four.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm Ottawa, I wouldn't trade Nick Paul, man. Like, because if Ottawa gets a late first round pick, Frank, that late round pick isn't helping them for another 3 or 4 years anyway. So if you sign Nick Paul to a three-year deal, by the time his deal's done, if you're worried that he overpriced himself, who cares? At least you've had three productive years. Like, I would, mm-hmm. I think that that's just spinning your circles. And that's how teams stay near the bottom, is when they let go of good. Nick Paul's just figured out how to play in the NHL and how to be a good player defensively. And he's adding a little bit more offense. Now's the worst time to trade him.
So does he belong in that category? The Goodrow.
Oh, for sure. He would be one of them. But Ottawa, like, I bet, like, if you look back to San Jose, I think San Jose, they regret the Barkley Goodrow trade. It didn't really help them. They got a first rounder. So you get the aura of a first rounder, but you don't get the player. Right?
But how do you, well, like, that's on you to draft the player.
Yeah, sure. But even if you draft the player, Frank, like, it's hard to draft players that are all going to play. Like, it's very difficult. So you can get a first round. And I think, like, there's still like, first rounders have value in the sense.
And how do we know, by the way, like, not like I'm not questioning you, but the player they picked with that pick was Ozzie Weisblatt. He was the last player, I think, picked in the first round, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But how do we know he's not going to make it?
Well, is he going to make it? Potentially, you know, if you look at his offense in the WHL since he's been drafted,
he's been a point per game guy.
Yeah, but you would usually, like, he had 70 points in 64 games, 25 goals when he was drafted. In the 56 games since, and now he's, you know, 18 and 19, he's got 16 goals and 59 points. Right, like, he hasn't.
But he's another one of those guys, though, that has that edge to his game, has that compete level that these guys had.
No, he works incredibly hard, Frank, but he's not that big, and I'm not sure he's a great skater. So I think if Weisblatt makes it, we're still talking 3 or 4 more years, right? For San Jose. You could have kept Goodrow in San Jose, signed him.
But to what end on this team? That's like, that's the whole conversation that we probably should dive into with Tomas Hertl. Is like, okay, that's great. You can keep Tomas Hertl, great player. Sign him to a 6-7 year deal. Different if you situation, want.
Right? Because you could have re-signed Goodrow for dirt cheap. You're gonna now. I Hertl's, Frank, we talked about it last week, right? Like, I think San Jose, because of the age of everybody on their team, unless Thomas Hertl wants to sign a 3 year deal, I'm not sure it makes sense for them to sign him.
I think it makes zero sense for them to sign him. But teams fall in love with their own guys, and they need warm security blankets because they're afraid to move them. Even though it's probably the best decision.
Yeah. Very different. Cause Hurdle's, you know, a big name player. He's going to command significant money. Goodrow wasn't. I think teams, especially bad teams, Frank, I've read a lot. Well, hadn't seen it firsthand for over a decade in Edmonton, when you get rid of good NHL players for always hoping that these picks and prospects will pan out, when the percentage of those picks and prospects panning out is like after the first round, we're talking 12, 14, 18%, depending on what round they're in. Like, that's a, you had a proven NHL player. You knew exactly what he was. You, sure, he's not flashy, but if he's, if all he is a third line center and you know he's a good third line center, trust me, you'll spend the next 6 years trying to replace him. And most teams never do. It's a cycle of losing that I think a lot of teams miss out on. Like, they invest their time in these guys. They finally get comfortable in the NHL. They got 300-400 games in and they're not going to get a huge ticket. And they're just like, well, we're going to trade this guy because we got to get younger.
See, I can test that idea, like, politely. Like, I don't know that Barkley Goodrow has that much value to San Jose if he stays. He's only really valuable on as a missing piece on a contender. Because, like, so think about Brandon Hagel from the Chicago Blackhawks point of view.
Yeah.
Good player, competes, great cap hit. First off, the Hawks don't need the cap space because they're going to have more contracts coming up and they'll be fine. Like, cap space isn't an issue. They're 4 years away from being competitive. Probably. He's not really any good to you.
Yeah. Well, I guess I don't put Hagel in the boat as Goodrow, right? Hagel to me, if I'm comparing the two players, and I saw Hagel a lot in Red Dirt, you know, I love his success story kind of coming out of nowhere and he got an opportunity good in Chicago. But I think, like, Barkley Goodrow, Frank, was able to be a significant contributor on a cup winning team. I don't think Hagel can.
But he would be a significant contributor in San Jose, but to what end? That's kind of my question. Is like, so let's talk about Lehkonen, a little bit of a different spot, because I think the Canadians, with all the guys on their team that have term, aren't going to be able to tear it down to the studs. You might need a player like him to help reboot and get you where you want to get to.
Yeah. I think protecting, like, if Montreal, who's clearly in a rebuild, the biggest mistake they make is they go too young. And then they don't. So Lehkonen doesn't help you win a championship, but he helps protect your young guys so they don't get their teeth kicked in every night. Mm-hmm. And now your rebuild, you know, because most, I was looking, Frank, I think a lot of rebuilds from bad teams are 8 to 10 years. And most owners and GMs don't want to really look at that, but it's really 8 to 10 years. For a lot of, like, bad teams. We're talking bad. Like, look at Ottawa. Everyone, hey, Ottawa's improving. Yeah, but they're still bad, right? What year is this now? 5 or 6? So they might go look at Chicago before they finally became good. They made the playoffs once in 10 years. They were terrible. Right? Pittsburgh wasn't good for a long time. The Oilers have been awful for extended periods of time, right? Like, there's a few teams, yes, to turn around quickly. But some of them might have had, like, Philadelphia, when they have that one bad year, then they sign Hartnell and Timonen in free agency, boom, they're right back. But that was never a rebuild, right? Like, it's the bad teams stay. Look at Buffalo. How many years is Buffalo going to be bad? I bet you they got another 2 or 3 years still.
It's interesting. I just think it's a debate worth having. Is like,
yeah.
Oh, no, is it worth it for the Blackhawks to keep Hagel or to get a price close to that and move him?
But do you think you can get a first rounder for Brandon Hagel?
Can they get a first?
Yeah.
There are teams that have offered a first and a prospect.
For Hagel?
Yes.
Well, then if I'm Chicago, I would take that in a heartbeat.
But you just said that the Sharks should have kept Goodrow.
Well, they didn't get two. They only got one. They only got a first, right? A late first. And the Sharks at the time of that trade, Frank, still had, like, they still had good players around them.
They're the same team they are now. This is about to be their third straight season as a lottery team.
Well, yeah, but if you go back and look, the San Jose Sharks weren't very good because they had arguably the worst goaltending for 3 straight years. They had an 896 save percent. 896.
Think about, like, we're challenging some norms here. Like, think about the reaction from the league as a whole. I can remember standing there in the studio. They gave up what for Barkley Goodrow?
Because
it was almost universally panned.
Yeah, but you know why? Because when people think first rounder, they think Connor McDavid, you know, they think, or if they think a mid-round pick, they're like, well, every number 22 is going to turn out to be Jordan Eberle and score you 300 goals. They don't think most, go back, go and look at, and I've, trust me, I've tried crushed the number, look at number 20 to number, and now it's 32. So let's say 24 to 32 and look at the history of those drafts. Sure, you can get a Claude Giroux sometimes, right? And the, you know, the odd time you'll get a, you get a Corey Perry, but there's a lot of years that you get a whole bunch of nothing. And so we still, I think, first round pick carries a lot of weight because you know what it is, Frank? It's hope for bad organizations and their fans. It's like, oh, we got another first rounder and maybe we'll hit the lottery. Because it's right, Barclay Goodrow wasn't the potential of a first round offensive player. And so people perceive it as that, well, we're trading away a third round guy or third line guy, but we're going to get a first round pick. And so they view it much more, even though in reality, a lot of times it isn't.
It's an interesting debate. I don't know.
Fun as it gets closer. I'm a Brandon Hagel's name. I like it, Frank. Put it out there.
I mean, look, but I don't think they're moving him because I don't think they're going to get what they need. They feel like they need.
Okay. Well, that's fair. Let's bring in Tyler Yaremchuk, fresh off a week of holidays.
Yes, I am fresh off a week of holidays.
How many bets did you make in the Super Bowl yesterday?
I had a good amount. I had a healthy amount on the over, so I missed on that. But luckily for me, I also bet on the coin flip being heads. So made back a little bit there.
I thought you would be is the Gatorade bath blue or orange guy?
I got 4-1 odds on it being clear. So I missed out on that. And it kind of looked clear a little bit.
No,
I might contend.
I saw the replay. It was as blue as Hawaii water.
Ah. Darn. Well, too bad.
Maybe Cincy's would have been clear. We'll never know.
Yeah, could have. You never know. Or maybe if the game would have gone to overtime, they would have drank a little bit more of the blue Gatorade and the white one would have been more fun. They would have used it.
What I wanted Cincy to get its field goal, go to overtime, and then the Rams score a touchdown because then I would have won my Super Bowl pool because I had two for the NFC.
That's without the over, I wanted to drink some Everclear. That's all.
Yeah, that was a rough one, missing out on the over, but that's where I'm starting here. It's fill in the blank. It's brought to you by our friends at DoorDash. Ding dong. I don't know if I can follow up the ding dong that producer Liam did on the last episode.
That was epic. We didn't talk about that enough.
Yeah. But 25% off with the promo code rundown DD. You get that off your first order and you get no delivery fees on that order. But this always comes up whenever another sport hands out their championship. Everyone on Twitter does the whole, you know, it sucks that the owner gets the trophy, right? And it is one of the great traditions in hockey that you get the moment where the captain, usually with a, you know, a big beard, gets to lift up the Stanley Cup. You get that moment. It's probably my favorite hockey tradition. The question to start is, your favorite hockey tradition is blank. Frank? I probably could have given you some heads up on this one that I was going to ask.
Yeah,
it's I was a bit of a loaded one.
It is. There's like a lot to this. Playoff beards are a good one. Honestly, anytime I think about this, is going to sound really funny to say, but I feel like I need to say it because I think about it often. When you're on the ice for a Stanley Cup and it's awarded, it's the oddest thing. So it hasn't happened in a couple of years because of COVID, but you know, the media comes out on the ice as soon as like the players get a chance to celebrate with it for a second and skate it around. And like every single time I am like a puddle, I am legitimately so emotional and trying to hold it together as a reporter asking questions. And it's only because there's so much emotion there. You get like wrapped into it. It is the oddest thing. You know, something so happy, like everyone is crying, everyone. It is the emotion of it is, I think, the best part of the Stanley Cup being awarded.
Favorite hockey tradition, I will go with something different, something very simple. I like that most teams still honor the first lap for a player when they get that first lap by themselves, their first game in the show, man, like, welcome to the show, kid. And who knows if you ever, you know, for some players, that's the only lap they ever get. and others play 1,000 games. But most players, you always get that first lap. It's pretty cool.
By the way, I was thinking about that the other day. When did that start?
I have no idea.
It's fairly recent though, right?
I think it's like the last handful of years, because it was not a thing when I first started covering the NHL.
I remember they used to make guys go bucket list a lot. The rookies in their first game in warm-up, but I don't know if they got the last.
Everyone should be going no bucket warmies.
I would totally agree with you on that one.
I mean, maybe not you, but me.
You're too old to call it warmies, Frank. Come on.
Yeah, like this, like you gotta like Jay, come on.
Yeah. That actually would be a really interesting thing to look back on, like when that started. Anyway.
Sounds like a story idea. Post-trade deadline story idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Find it.
Moving on to the next one here. Marty St. Louis takes over the bench in Montreal. Cole Caulfield scores 2 goals in 3 games after only having 1, I think, in his first 30. So he's got 3 goals in 33 games now. Cole Caulfield finishes the year with blank goals. Jason?
So the Habs, they lost all 3 games. They don't have much talent. Caulfield's going to get every opportunity. I think Marty St. Louis looks at him and sees himself. So he's got... Does he have 3 or 4?
He's got 3 and 33.
Okay.
So the Habs, just the Habs have 34 games left this season.
I'll say he finishes. He'll score 8 goals in his next 34 games. So he'll finish with 11.
All right.
I think he gets to 15. It's 11 goals in 30. It's like 1 goal every 3 games. It's not that crazy.
Yeah.
You have one or two goal games.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I mean, he scored how many last year? 12?
Yeah, I believe so. It's interesting because, I mean, you think back to the start of the year, like he was neck and neck with Zegras on the odds boards to win the Calder. So like
he was the favorite.
Yeah, he was the favorite. You're correct. He had 4 goals in 10 games last year in the regular season. So, and then in the playoffs, he followed it up with 4 and 20. So yeah, getting to that 15 goal mark is probably realistic. Third one I got for you. Moving to the Pacific Division, the Calgary Flames have jumped the Vegas Golden Knights in terms of points percentage. Vegas has them, like our friends at PointsBet has it as they're both +110 to win the division. Your question is, the Calgary Flames have a blank percent chance of winning the division. Frank?
20.
Really? Interesting. You think they fall off eventually?
It's Vegas, and if not, then who? It's got to be Calgary.
You'd give Vegas like whatever an 80% chance in Calgary
75, 20? Calgary 20, and maybe Edmonton 5.
Okay.
Maybe like Edmonton 3, the Kings 2. I don't know, like something like that.
All right.
I'll give Calgary a 39% chance.
39. That is such a Gregor number.
Yeah, maybe 49 even. Maybe I'll change my answer. 49. I think they're right on 49? The cusp. Honestly, they're really right now.
I mean, with a goalie, anything's possible, right? And the way Markstrom can get hot. All right. Last one I got for you. It is the official points bet bonus question. Cale Makar is the odds on favorite to win the Norris Trophy. And he's a big time favorite +110. And then it drops all the way off to Victor Hedman at +400. And then Adam Fox at +450. Your question is Cale Makar being overvalued or does he deserve to be that big of a favorite? Jason?
Well, I think he's being a little bit overvalued. I love Cale Makar. He's been unreal, but man, Hedman's had a dynamic season. The other guy who's maybe not getting the love he should be is Aaron Ekblad. I think Aaron Ekblad's had a fantastic year in Florida. So I think that high of odds, I think he's maybe overvalued. That being said, I still think Makar might win, but I'm not sure it's going to be that landslide of a victory.
I think if he plays the requisite number of games, meaning he is healthy to the finish line, I don't see a way in which Cale Makar loses the Norris. So I think he's actually appropriately valued. I got to say though, watching the trophy odds boards yesterday, just scrolling through the app on Super Bowl Sunday, the one that jumped out to me was the Vezina. I think that one is it's whacked the odds. UC Saros is still 15 to 1.
Yeah.
That's bananas to me.
Markstrom's still 10 to 1.
I could see Markstrom though, because he didn't even factor into my top 5.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, UC Saros, like he might carry the Preds again.
Who's the top leader?
right to the playoffs. Like, how does he not, how is he 15-1? Like, why is he not in the 4-6-1 range?
Shesterkin's plus 145. He's the favorite. And then it drops to Vasilevsky at 6-1, Anderson 7-1.
So Tristan Jari, what is Tristan Jari at?
Ooh, 18-1 on points bet.
Yeah. There's some I'm telling you, there's some value on the Vezina board.
Well, yeah. I like that.
Interesting enough. All right, there you go. That's going to do it for another edition of Fill in the Blank, delivered by DoorDash.
No ding dong today.
That Liam ding dong from the other day is like, that is going to be on the all time DFO rundown clips.
Well, that should be we should just incorporate that now every time.
he just said it so seriously. It was like, it was amazing.
Plus his accent, that made it even better.
So. Without a hint of irony, like it was like an actual ding dong.
Speaking of the opening question from Tyler about handing the trophy, it's really the only NHL that hands it to the players, right? The NBA, Major League Baseball, and the NFL all hand it to the owners. And I've always wondered, like, well, I don't think the NHL could ever change it, but I wonder if someone would like to, right? Like,
it's so awkward for teams that are owned by corporate entities. Like, think about the Toronto Raptors winning a few years ago. And Larry Tannenbaum is the face of the organization, you know, in terms of ownership. But to have the CEOs of Bell and Rogers next to him, like, it just felt like, ugh.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. Like, hey, I understand it's your money, but the owners look at the value of their team. They're going up all the time. And you know what? Hey, I respect them all. They made tons of money. But to me, you hand it to the players, just the blood. I would have loved to have seen, you know, Aaron Donald get it first last night, or Matt Stafford. Like, I know maybe it doesn't matter at the end of the day. It just seems so stuffy.
Well, that was it. It was like, okay, like, is there a less, like, and again, I don't mean to take swipes at anyone. Is there a less relatable human being on the planet than Stan Kroenke?
To the average fan? Fair enough.
Like, you were loaded enough on your own, and then you marry the daughter of Walmart. Like, no one can understand or reason with you. Like, there isn't a person on this planet. And they're gushing about, like, delivering the stadium and the Super Bowl and all these. It's like it didn't even, like, every part of it, it was like, oh, we're delivering a Super Bowl to LA. Like, how long did LA go without football? Like, did anyone even care?
Here's the thing, Frank. So Kroenke has all this money for the stadium. How come you can't even get the Avs games on regional television in Colorado? God. Stan, you run your own cable network. Just put it out there. Like, what's going on here? I still can't understand how that's happening.
Fight over mere peanuts. Yeah, like mere. We've drawn a line in the sand on our regional TV. Like, good. Good. Okay.
Like, that's you've got one of the most exciting teams in the league, and their fans have to bend and twist and contort themselves just to watch them on TV. It's the worst.
Are they the fourth of four properties in the Kroenke sports and entertainment world? Seriously, where do they rank on the priority list?
I live in Edmonton, Frank. I get to watch every Avs game because, you know what? I have the NHL package. And I'm telling you, Nathan MacKinnon, Cale Makar, Mikko Rantanen, and like, it's Nazem Kadri. Like, they're one of the teams, like, my son, when we watch different teams, Colorado, there's like five teams that he likes to watch just because they're highly entertaining. And he's eight. So, man, so shout out to the Avs fans listening, Mac. I feel for you. Like, I read that stuff. I'm just blown away. It's embarrassing, Kroenke.
So you got the LA Rams. You've got Arsenal, the Denver Nuggets, and then the Avs. They've got to be the fourth of like eight on their priority list.
Well, you know what, though, Frank? You have multiple kids. Treat all your kids the same. So treat all your sports entities the same. Treat your fan bases. The Avs fans are just as rabid as the Nuggets fans or the Rams fans. So let them watch their team. I plead with you, Mr. Kroenke. Let them watch you. You're arguing. It's so, as you said, Frank, peanuts in the grand scheme of things for them. It's all about ego, unfortunately. It's really too bad.
Yeah. Peanuts or as someone in the business world once said, for the Kroenkes, it's mice nuts. So there you go.
One last one for you, Frank. Will we see any?
See, we had a mice nuts and size matters all in the same Valentine's Day episode.
Will we have any added animosity in Evander Kane's first visit to San Jose tonight?
I mean, it wouldn't surprise me at all to see someone take a run at him.
Like none of their, like the guys who the leaders, because Kane and Edmonton, you saw his press conference where he said, hey, I wasn't the one leaking out those things. So if they're great leaders, then maybe they're not. So there's definitely some animosity between him and some of the leaders.
Well, how could there not be? They ran him out.
Yeah.
They literally said, we're done with you.
Yeah. So like they have toughness there, Gajanovic, Veal, Middleton, but those guys weren't the vets, right? Gajanovic wasn't even there last year, right? Neither was Veal. So like Brent Burns, if we're talking leaders, Couture, Hurdle, none of those guys are going to fight him. So I just wonder what happens in that game. I'm kind of curious.
Well, he did question Couture, I mean, pretty openly, did he not? I mean, you want to talk about leader, it goes right to the top, does it not?
Yeah.
I think what was most embarrassing about the press conference was he glossed over the fact that all those things happened to then say it's because of bad leadership that they got out. Like, it's not that it got out. That's not the problem. The problem is that they happened. So like discuss the problem. That's, we've already hit that on the head though.
So we'll find out if it happens. Interesting 5 weeks from the NHL trade deadline. Brendan Hagel, a first and a prospect. We'll see if that comes to fruition. The Avs, we talked the Sharks and Hurdle. There's a big name. If they don't sign him, there's a name that I think teams would want. Carolina Hurricanes, Frank. And there's a few teams, the New York Rangers, they got a boatload of cap space, man. I'm very curious to see what they're going to do. So lots of fun here in the next 5 weeks. Have yourself a good week. We'll talk to you on Friday.
Thanks for listening to the DFO Rundown with Saravalli and Gregor. Keep it locked on dailyfaceoff.com and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.